Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
In every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last.
Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
MLK Day. Many of you off, many of you working. We always work here because it's always the big day after the AFC and the NFC championship games. We bring in the crew. Danny G, I think the two best teams certainly won. What did you take away from these two games?
Well, I'll start with the late game. And you've taught the crew well how to be humble and never brag about anything.
Or draw attention to yourself.
Exactly.
Or like that.
We're all very low-key. We follow your lead. But our show nailed it last Wednesday morning when I talked about the Packers' defense and how I thought they would be all over Aaron Rodgers. Eddie talked about the weapons that the Niners have on offense, including their talented group of running backs, although Tevin Coleman went out hurt with that shoulder, so we'll see what's up with him. Jimmy G, as you mentioned, only had seven completions. He was doing his best Ryan Tannehill, it seemed like. Then on the flip side of that, Patrick Mahomes is everything to Kansas City. I think that he is the closest thing we have to a Michael Jordan in the NFL.
Yeah.
On that sideline where he was tiptoeing with that 27-yard TD run where it looked like he was just going to run out of bounds at first, I jumped out of my chair like a lot of the country did.
I think that play won the game for the Chiefs.
Yep.
And that was it was a good play by him, but it was also atrocious tackling by the Titans in that scenario. I mean, that should have been an easy tackle him in bounds, make him call a timeout, let him run a couple plays, see if they could score a touchdown or kick a field goal. But I thought if you went back and looked at the game, and I'm sure that at some point the Titans will. First of all, the Chiefs are a better team, right? Really, they're a better team because they have Patrick Mahomes. And I think of all the playoff teams, every single playoff team would be better, except for probably the Baltimore Ravens, if they had Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback, because he's the best quarterback in the NFL. And the reason why the Ravens wouldn't be better is because they specifically built a team around Patrick, around Lamar Jackson. But Patrick Mahomes would make everybody infinitely better if he was on their team. Having said that, I thought the Titans gave this game away. They were up 17-14. They had the ball with like 2 minutes or 4 minutes to go, I think-ish. They got the ball back. And they ran the ball twice with Derrick Henry and then threw a screen pass to Deion Lewis. It was a really conservative play call, and it effectively just said, hey, we're going to give the ball back to the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs were going to get the ball to start the second half. Now, they got the stop to start the second half, but you couldn't give up a touchdown there. So the Titans were up 17-7 and then gave up a touchdown and then gave the ball back and gave up that huge play by Patrick Mahomes. And I think if you went back, that was the pivot point in this game, because I'm not sure what happens if they go into the half tied at 17 or if they go into the half with the Titans up 17-14. Certainly if the Titans could have driven down and used the rest of the clock and gotten a field goal, that would have been different. But I thought they went super conservative in that situation there, and it changed the game. Because it took away the opportunity of them being able to play with the lead. I also thought there was a big call on a holding penalty on what looked like a first down with about, 6 minutes to go, 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. And I hate judgment calls that I think are wrong. And in that scenario where the Titans, I think, had third and one, and it looked like they got the first down and then they moved them back 10 yards, down 21-17. That was a pretty monumental call.
Suggs really sold that.
Yeah, it was a bad – I mean, the official – you can't – I hate when judgment calls get made. And what I mean by a judgment call is when you look at it and you could make a call or not make a call. Like if you're offsides or you're downfield or you false start, you know, like you look at them and you're like, okay, that's objectively a foul. Suggs sold that. But pretty much everybody that I've seen who is an NFL prognosticator who looks at officiating said that wasn't a hold, and so that would have been a first and 10 near midfield, down 4 points with a chance to drive. The offense for the Titans really didn't do that much, but in the second half, but that would have been a big call, I thought, coming out of that play. But I think the challenge for the Titans going forward is, what is Ryan Tannehill, right? I think for Titan fans out there who and NFL fans in general, what are you going to get? Ryan Tannehill played 13 games for you after he came in to replace Marcus Mariota with a 2-4 football team. And is he more flash in the pan Nick Foles, who effectively the Titans are going to go out and give a lot of money to, and he's not going to be able to replicate what he did all season, and it just kind of puts your team in a tough spot? Or is he going to prove that he's a franchise quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years for this team? I think that's the challenge for the Titans going forward, is what exactly is Ryan Tannehill going to be? Did he catch lightning in a bottle like Nick Foles has done before in the season? He played 13 games, so that's at least a decent amount. Did he play the best 13 games of his career all rolled in together? Or is he going to be consistent for the next several years and that good, in which case the Titans would be a playoff-caliber team for years ahead? I think that's the question. But you're right. That play that Mahomes had was pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, and I think the whole city of Nashville should really be proud. I know it's hard for you to appreciate it right now at this very moment, but when you have a little bit of a break and you look back, so many of us, even on the show, we all picked the Colts to get that sixth seed. And for the Titans to go to the playoffs and do what they did at Gillette Stadium and then there in Baltimore is pretty impressive. So with Mike Vrabel, I know you were hard on him at the start of the season. But I think with Vrabel, you guys have a good chance to at least be in the mix.
I mean, again, the question is, are the Titans a flash in the pan, or is there going to be consistency? Because I think you could make either argument. I think you can look at the Titans and say, okay, they kind of got everything came together for them, much like happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, I use them as an example because I think most people, sorry Jags fans, would acknowledge that while the Jags came close to making the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they weren't built for sustained excellence. They just happened to get hot at the right time. And what you really want, if you're an NFL fan, it's great for your team to make a run when you don't anticipate it, but you want sustained excellence. And so I don't know the answer as to whether or not the Titans are built for sustained excellence. I think you can make an argument on either side at this point in time. I think the challenge for Packer fans as they wake up this morning is a little bit different than the challenge for Titan fans. You know that Aaron Rodgers is great, but at 37 years old, how many more years do you have with him where he's able to contend and get to this point of the season? And, look, I didn't think he was great. I thought he was pretty mediocre in the time and the part of that game where his team had a chance to win. But Aaron Rodgers has lost in 8 playoff games in his career. He's made the playoffs 8 times, won 1 Super Bowl. So 9 times where he's made the playoffs, 1 where he's won. And for the Aaron Rodgers believers out there, they can toss up this in the 8 Aaron Rodgers playoff losses. Defense gave up 45 points. Defense gave up 37 points. Defense gave up 45 points. Defense gave up 44. Defense gave up 37. And then led game-tying drive, never got ball again. Led game-tying drive, never got ball again. Led game-tying drive, never got ball again. So Aaron Rodgers has never lost in the playoffs when his team defense has given up less than 37, and he's gotten the ball with a chance to win the game. I mean, that is the truther Aaron Rodgers believers out there in the eight times that he's been eliminated in the playoffs. What about you, Dub? What would you what kind of stands out to you from the AFC and the NFC?
Well, I'll start with the AFC. I thought the Titans kind of abandoned ship with Henry a little too early in this game, because you mentioned that three and out right before the half where Kansas City got the ball back and Mahomes obviously had that unbelievable run. They handed the ball off twice to Henry, then threw a screen pass to go three and out. And after that three and out, it kind of seemed that they just said, okay, we're going to have to just keep up with them and try and throw the ball. And I thought, I mean, Derrick Henry, I think, only had two carries in the second half. So I wasn't sure if that was just a game plan switch, or if Derrick Henry was finally just totally gassed.
I think it's a good question. I think, honestly, that the downside of being the kind of team that the Titans are, and that's why I went to the way the half ended, they had the possession one time in the second half where they were within one score, right? And they got stopped on that when they threw the flag on third and one. It looked like they gave him the spot for the first down, and that was kind of a questionable. It looked like the official on one side threw the flag at the snap, and then the official on the other side got sold on that hold. That's why I think that call was so significant, because I do think if they get the first down there and they're near midfield, they have, you know, kind of a decent shape still, because they're down 21-17, but they could drive down, get points there, and then feel like they're still within one score regardless. Even if they kicked a field goal, they could have made it 21-20, or they could have scored to make it 24-21, and I think things would have been different. But then they punted there after the flag, and they came back down, the Chiefs did, and got a touchdown. And once they went up 28-17, that was the only double-digit deficit that the Titans faced in the entirety of the postseason. So they were down, and remember, they got that stop at goal line against the New England Patriots when the Patriots threatened a couple weeks ago to go up 17-7. And with Derrick Henry, I think once you get down double digits, it's hard to rely on him. But I agree with you that it definitely seemed like they kind of abandoned him in the second half.
Yeah, and another thing, Chris Jones absolutely changed that game. And even in the few snaps that he played, he was pretty much unblockable on that line. And Patrick Mahomes, as you mentioned before, I mean, I've been watching football. I'm only 26, but I've been watching football a long time. I'm not sure I've seen a guy that's better than him, even though this is only his second full season. I've never seen anybody play the way he plays the position. So this is going to be an unbelievable matchup with the 49ers defensive front against Patrick Mahomes and all of his weapons. But for the other game, it was just kind of a dead game. I mean, the 49ers came out so hot and on fire. And Rodgers, you know, on their first successful drive, he just fumbles the snap out of nowhere to turn the ball over. And then the interception right before the half. And at that point, you know, it was pretty much all over.
Yeah, that was all she wrote. I mean, it was not a lot of suspense at all. I mean, at halftime, I'm going to be honest with you, I turned the game off. I was like, well, I've watched a lot of football today. And I ended up playing Uno and Connect Four with my two youngest kids. And by the way, we've got the flu is going rampant, I think, in many parts of the country. I told you, Danny G, already. I haven't missed a day in 4 years of morning radio for sickness, which is a rarity.
Don't jinx it.
I know. I'm worried about jinxing myself, because our oldest son, tough break for him, Titan fan, gets the flu. Could barely watch the game, so I'm worried that the flu is going to run rampant through our entire house because he's got it. So we'll see whether or not anybody else gets sick, but our house is on pins and needles here. I think this flu season kind of came a little bit late for much of the country, but I think there are a lot of people all over based on stories that I'm reading that are ending up with the flu, and the flu shot is not necessarily the flu. They whiffed, I think, on the type of flu that was going to be prevalent in the United States. So many people got the flu shot, and it wasn't the right concoction. So a lot of people are getting sick, even though they otherwise should have been safe. They got the flu shot. They got the wrong flu. Brian Finley, what update you got for us?
Yeah, let's get right into it, Clay. The NFL Network has learned the Houston Texans are moving on from Romeo Crennel as defensive coordinator. There is speculation he might come back as a senior assistant or retire. Houston defensive line coach Anthony Weaver is a front runner. for the job. The 49ers and Chiefs making up the Super Bowl matchup. San Francisco overwhelming the Packers 37-20 in Sunday's NFC Championship game. 49ers Raheem Mostert found the end zone four times, totaling 220 yards on the ground. After the game, San Fran head coach Kyle Shanahan praising his ball carrier.
He's just earned everything. He's been on a number of teams. He's earned everything that's been that he's gotten. He earned today, and he's just such a good person. And I mean, for him to help us as much as he has on offense, and I mean, you guys saw the play he made last week on special teams. He would have made some more today too, I'm sure. But once we lost Tevin, we only had two backs left. We had to make sure to pull both of those guys off. So, but I can't say enough good things about Raheem.
Earlier on Sunday, Patrick Mahomes dazzled with four touchdowns, three through the air, and then the guys were talking about the one with his feet, 27 yards as he scampered and slid off defenders down the sideline as the Chiefs clown the Titans 35-24 in the AFC title game from Sunday. Titans, their defense surrendering 404 yards. Derrick Henry limited to 69 yards rushing. And some Australian Open action is going as we speak, and 15-year-old American Coco Gauff eliminating legend Venus Williams, who is 24 years older, in the first round of the Australian Open. We'll be back with Clay Travis in just a moment, but first, a word from Farmers.
Bundle home and auto with Farmers Insurance, and you could save an average of 20%. We know a thing or two about how to save a buck or two. Call 1-800-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Reported 2018 nationwide average savings underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Back to Clay Travis in the Outkick the Coverage studios.
Good stuff, Roberto. What stood out to you? Anything in particular?
I agree with Dub there. I felt like the Titans abandoned the run too soon there. You know, you can't rely on Tannehill to bring you back. Also, the Chiefs' run defense was atrocious all season, and I'm sure the Niners are definitely going to exploit that. And like you said, at halftime, I was pretty much done watching that second game. And the Packers were just overrated all season. That 13-3 record was definitely not how good they were all season, man.
Yeah, it is interesting that in theory, and again, there's 2 weeks until this game is played, but the 49ers seem almost perfectly constructed to take advantage of the Chiefs' weaknesses. They have an incredible pass rush on the defensive line without having to bring any additional men to blitz. And they have a fantastic run game, which in theory could take advantage of the Kansas City Chiefs' run defense. Now, the first half, the Titans ran the ball very, very well, and as these guys are saying, they didn't get a chance to run very much in the second half, which dictates to a certain extent what the score of the game is going to be. And to their credit, the Chiefs, with the late drive in the first half, took the lead in the game and never relinquished it for the rest of the contest. When we come back, basically, there's no great surprise what we're doing all day today.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
It is MLK Day. Many of you out there have the day off, but also a lot of you on your way into work. We always work on the AFC and the NFC Championship Monday, which it typically is today. And so we are breaking down for you now the Super Bowl matchup. We will be down in Miami next week. We'll be doing the show from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern at the Miami Beach Convention Center. As part of Radio Row, I'm told we have a big, monumental, incredibly massive stage that you'll be able to check out if you are walking through Radio Row, if you're going to be a Chiefs fan or you are going to be a 49er fan. Going to be a really difficult ticket with all of the money that is in Silicon Valley, and a lot of people who support the San Francisco 49ers and the Chiefs have not been to a Super Bowl in 50 years, and so that will be a highly sought-after ticket for sure. So many of you will be able to come and check that out on Radio Row. And then for the Lock It In television show, which will also be on live later today, there's going to be an incredible, incredible outdoor set. We got a meeting on Friday. We had a meeting on Friday in L.A. about how huge this Fox Sports outdoor studio is. Fox has got the Super Bowl this year. We have a Ferris wheel. We have an outdoor football field on the beach in Loomis Park right there in South Beach and Miami Beach. And so if you are going to be in that area, you can get tickets and come watch our television show and the other television shows all of which will be broadcasting live all day long for Fox Sports. So I'd encourage you guys to come and check that out and make sure you don't miss any of the fun that we're going to have down in the Super Bowl. And the fun was had certainly by the San Francisco 49ers, who put away the Green Bay Packers early. They were up 27-0 at the half, 64-8. They outscored the Green Bay Packers in the first 6 weeks, six quarters of play between these two teams. Never really any doubt in that game. In the AFC Championship game, the Titans came out, took a 10-0 lead, then took a 17-7 lead, were up 17-14 when the Chiefs took the ball with 2 minutes to go in the first half. I believe the game was decided on this play, really, a 27-yard scramble by Patrick Mahomes, which was the biggest and best play of either game in the AFC or the NFC Championship. Here's what it sounded like.
Moving to his left, laterally chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
Certainly an iconic play that you feel like in many ways put the Chiefs into the Super Bowl. And again, I know that it didn't decide the game. It did give the Chiefs their first lead of the game, I think was a major deflating moment for the Titans. If you listened to our show in hour one, I said if you went back over both of these games, the Packers never were really in the game at all. If you wanted to question the way that the Titans played against the Chiefs, the way that the first half ended is where you go to, and that play culminated there with the Chiefs taking a 21-17 lead into the half, a lead that they would never relinquish. But the reason they got the ball was because the Titans went, I thought, pretty conservative in their final possession of the first half after they had been basically flawless on offense. They scored a field goal and the touchdown on the first three possessions they had. Then they get the ball back with 4 minutes to play, run Derrick Henry twice, and then throw a screen pass and get stopped there short of the first down and have to punt, which then opened the door for that spectacular play by Patrick Mahomes. After the game, Patrick Mahomes was asked about that run, and he had this to say.
They were kind of doubling with Tyreek and the speed, and then Kelce, obviously, with the things he did last week. When them playing like that, the line kind of got them all put back in, the D linemen all kind of together in the line. So I broke it. I was thinking about just running out of bounds, and as I got to the sideline, I realized that I could cut up, and I was running down the sideline, and I knew we had two timeouts. Like, I might as well try to cut it back. And so I cut it back, and luckily was able to hang on to the ball and get in the end zone.
It looked like the Titans tried to tackle the ball more than tackle the player there. And that was a big whiff on their part, because if they make the tackle there, they probably get Mahomes down around the 5 or 6 yard line. The Chiefs have to take one of their timeouts. They'd get a couple of chances to throw or run the ball in there, depending, and maybe they still would have scored regardless. But that was a major mishap by the Titans, and I think it won the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if the Chiefs go on and win the Super Bowl, that will be an iconic legacy play for many people when they talk about Patrick Mahomes' career. Regardless, it was an iconic play to put the Chiefs into their first Super Bowl in 50 years. What do you guys think? Did that play decide the game, Danny G, in your mind?
Yeah, even before you said that on the air in my notes here, I wrote it was like he was going to be unstoppable after that run, especially with the Chiefs getting the ball after halftime. I felt like the Titans needed to play almost a perfect second half to come back and win that game. And the one thing that people aren't really pointing out, though, except you just mentioned it, they were trying to tackle the ball. Because if you notice there, Mahomes at the end of the run, he switched the ball into his other hand away from the defender. And as he did that spin move, he lost the ball right at the goal line and then clenched onto it again. That's exactly what the Titans were doing. They were not trying to bring him down. They were trying to strip the ball away.
Yeah, and look, if they had managed to get the ball out, then certainly that could have been a major swing point too, because you would go from spectacular play by Mahomes to great defensive play But you got to just get him on the ground. You got to know the time and the situation there. And at that point, you've allowed him to scramble for 20-plus yards already. Just get him down and live to fight another play. And really, I mean, there were no turnovers in the game at all. But that, to me, is the play that really decided the game. I thought it was deflating for the Titans, incredibly inflating for the Chiefs. And also, just it's the kind of play you make where you think, okay, we're going to win this game. And again, I come back to, if you want to question how that happened, the Titans put themselves in that position by not being able to use up the rest of that clock at the end of the first half and going really conservative. And I don't understand why you go conservative there when you've been so good on offense so far up to that point. And then you run a little screen pass on third down, don't even really give your team a chance to get the first down, and you punt, and with that goes the Super Bowl chance. And I think that the challenge as you look forward is, okay, the 49ers and the Chiefs, we have 2 weeks to talk about that game, and I think it's going to be a phenomenal matchup. But the challenge, I think, when you get that close to the Super Bowl, whether you're the Packers or the Titans, is, as we talked about in hour one, how much of these teams are built for sustainability? How much of these teams, like, for instance, last year, the Chiefs, really tough to lose because D Ford lined up offside, you lose in overtime. You're so excruciatingly close to making a Super Bowl. But they came back the next year, this year, and took care of business, and now they're in the Super Bowl. And even last year, if you went back and listened to the tape of this program, when we talked about the Patriots winning and we talked about the Rams winning, both of those games, by the way, were incredibly entertaining compared to these games, which, look, I mean, the Titans-Chiefs game was entertaining for a while and was competitive. The Packers game against the 49ers was never competitive. But when you looked at that game last year, you could say about the Chiefs, okay, yeah, they lost, but Patrick Mahomes at that time was only 23 years old. He played well. He put them in a position to advance the Super Bowl. It didn't happen for them, but you felt like they're going to be there again. And even if the Chiefs had lost this game to the Titans, let's presume that somehow the Titans had won that one and managed to steal one on the road against the Chiefs, you still would feel like, even though it would have really hurt for Chiefs fans, okay, yeah, we lost our second straight home game back-to-back with home field advantage playing for a trip to the Super Bowl, but you still would feel like, oh, we're going to be back again. And I feel like that's the response that the Chiefs or the 49ers can have if they lose in the Super Bowl. Yeah, we lost, but we got still young quarterbacks. We're going to be back. We'll get another opportunity. It's not as if you're Matt Ryan or maybe Cam Newton, although Cam Newton's a little bit different, and you felt like when the Panthers lost, oh, they'll be back. It's hard for most teams to get to the Super Bowl. And we got sold sometimes a bill of goods because we look at how spectacular Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and guys like that are, who are always in the mix and always either in the Super Bowl or in the mix to go to the Super Bowl. And I don't think we recognize how rare that is. Now, I think the Chiefs tend to be like that. I believe, when I started off the show, Patrick Mahomes is going to be, I believe, a modern-day version of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So he's going to put his team alongside of Andy Reid, who I think is an underrated coach. They're going to be in the postseason pretty much every year for the next decade. Could they miss it two or three of the years in the next decade? Yes, but I'm talking about 7 or 8 years, if I had to bet right now, assuming Patrick Mahomes stays healthy. 7 or 8 of the next 10 years, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs. And if you get in the playoffs, you give yourself a chance to advance to the AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game, go to the Super Bowl. How many of those years in the next 10 are the Packers and the Titans going to be in the playoffs? Many of those years, the Packers will not have Aaron Rodgers. So that incredible transition for the Packers, where they were able to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, they're going to have to find the next guy over the next decade. As Aaron Rodgers going to turn 37 years old next year, let's say he plays at a high level for 2 or 3 more years, I think that's fair. Maybe beyond that, I don't know. Patrick Mahomes in 10 years is still only going to be 34. In 10 years, Patrick Mahomes will be 2 years younger than Aaron Rodgers is right now. So I feel pretty good about how long they're going to be. What about the Titans? I don't feel particularly good that they're going to be in the mix. What about you guys? Do you guys think that we know, I think it's fair to say that the 49ers, with how young their defensive line is and how young their talent is, and the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is still super young too, I think he's 28. Do we feel good about either the Titans or the Packers being relevant in the years ahead?
Well, for a first-year head coach, Matt LaFleur took the Packers farther than any other first-year head coach has done for them.
I think that's a little bit unfair, though, because he came into a first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, but not that many people gave them a shot.
Yeah, but most first-year head coaches don't get to come into working with a proven quarterback.
That's true.
Almost first-year first coaches are dealing with rookie quarterbacks or second or third year guys that aren't proven. So, yes, I understand the
argument. To be fair, though, you didn't think he would get along with Aaron Rodgers. That was your take before the season started.
Yeah, my take was, well, that's because Aaron Rodgers wasn't getting along with Mike McCarthy. I think the Packers were, to me, and this is what Todd Furman has been arguing for a while, and I think he's right. I think the Packers were more like a 9-7 team than they were a 13-3 team. And I think the way they've gotten exposed in both their games against the San Francisco 49ers, it kind of gives evidence and credence to that argument. So
yeah,
I don't believe the Packers are going to be – I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to get another Super Bowl.
Well, they felt like a 7-9 team yesterday. As far as them being in the mix, yeah, I could see them maybe making the first round of the playoffs. But to be the Kansas City Chiefs, no. There's only one Kansas City – right now, we don't know who Patrick Mahomes' contemporary is yet. He's probably not in the league, right?
I don't buy it. I don't think that there's a contemporary. Dub, do you think the Titans are built or the Packers are built to be like last year when the Chiefs lost? You could still feel pretty good if you were a Chiefs fan. Do you think either one of those teams are built to be consistent playoff contenders in the years ahead?
Well, I would probably feel better if I was a Titans fan than Green Bay, because if you look at Green Bay's roster and the rest of the NFC, at least forecasting the next 2 to 3 years, I mean, they're pretty much right in the middle of the pack or below average in terms of their roster. You look at, you know, just go through the list. Philadelphia and Dallas probably have better rosters in their own division. Minnesota definitely has more talent. Chicago's borderline. New Orleans, Atlanta, San Francisco, Seattle, LA Rams. So, I mean, you look at these teams that they're competing with in the NFC, and it doesn't really look all that great for the Green Bay looking forward to the next few years. But at least with the Titans, they've got the offensive line, which is obviously really important, and a running back who that's going to be a decision for this offseason that the Titans are going to have to make, what to do with Derrick Henry. I'm curious your thoughts on that, because the last few guys that have gotten the big deals out of running back haven't really panned
tough.
Out too well.
Yeah,
but if we're looking at between Green Bay and Tennessee, I would rather be on the Titans side on this one.
It's tough for the Titans because, again, that's why I think you can make an argument for flash in the pan or sustainability. And I think much of that comes down to what your argument is about Ryan Tannehill. For 13 games, he went 9-4 in his 13 games as a starter. And the team got progressively better and better with him. Obviously, that was a really tough three playoffs games. I mean, having to go on the road in Foxborough, having to go on the road in Baltimore, and having to go on the road in Kansas City. If you are looking at him, you say, okay, can you win the division? And I think probably he can. The question is, though, again, was this 13 games a statistical anomaly, an aberration, or can he play like this for the next few years, 2 or 3, 4 years, as he goes? I think he's 31, so he's not that young. I mean, I was kind of surprised. I thought Ryan Tannehill was younger than that. Confirm that if you would, Dub, that he's 31 years old. I'm pretty sure that he is. And so you're a 31-year-old quarterback. You've seen it all. Like, you've been in the league for a while. And, okay, so let's say you're going to be good until you're 35 or 36, which I think is kind of fair at this point in time based on what we've seen longevity from other guys. That would give you 4 or 5 years of potentially being pretty decent. So the question is he, and how much do you pay him? or is he Nick Foles, who has a good run, but you're going to overvalue him? The more I think about it, the more I would probably be inclined to pay Derrick Henry. And as much as that, we'll ask Jeff Schwartz about that, who's scheduled to join us next, and maybe franchise Ryan Tannehill and make him prove to me for another season that he is, you know, for 1 year, you give him $28, $29 million, but make him prove that he's as good as he looked instead of trying to hamstring your franchise and give him too much money like it appears to me that the Jacksonville Jaguars, for instance, have done with Nick Foles. I don't think there's an easy answer, but I think that's the decision the Titans are going to be faced with. And I think that's why it's so hard to lose in the AFC or NFC championship game. I tend to think the Titans are a flash in the pan, honestly, that everything just kind of came together perfectly for them, and that they're going to go back to being an 8-8, 9-7 type team, which is what they've been for four straight years. They can't rush the passer, and I thought Patrick Mahomes kind of showed you that, and I don't know why suddenly they're going to get better at rushing the passer going forward. It's a fun run. It's an outstanding couple of wins, but when you come up short from going to the Super Bowl, it's a bitter taste for sure.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Joined now by Jeff Schwartz, whose brother is in the Super Bowl. How many tickets do you think you guys are going to need for your family and friends for the Super Bowl?
He's going to call me today with more, but I think it's 15. But, I mean, just, you know, it's my wife and I. My kids are not going. I love them a lot. I don't love them that much. So that money on a game they won't remember. And then, my parents will be there. Probably my aunt. We have a small family, like an aunt and uncle. That's probably it. And then, you know, he'll have a couple friends there. It's just expensive, man. It's Miami, first of all.
For people out there who don't know, you get the right as a former. Do you still get the right as a former NFL player to get tickets?
No.
Okay.
No.
When you are an NFL player, do you get the right to buy tickets?
Yeah. So if you're not in the game, you have the right to buy two tickets.
Okay. If you are an NFL player, you get the right to buy two tickets for face value.
Yes, for face value. They've eliminated, you know, we used to kind of maybe sell them, and they made it really tough on us now by mostly requiring you to pick them up from the site. So, like, let's say that you play on the Bills and you want your two Super Bowl tickets, you have to actually fly to Miami, pick them up in person.
Yeah.
And then if you wanted to give them,
because they had
else,
a big issue with guys selling them, right? Like, you would buy the tickets, and then, you know, especially for some of, like, assistant coaches or whatever else who might not make a lot of money, you could bank $15,000 on those tickets.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably on the high end. But, I mean, this Super Bowl is going to be expensive because you have a smaller stadium, only seats 65,000. It's not Dallas if we get 100,000 in there. It only seats 55,000, and you have two teams with fan bases that are really excited for this game. You're going to get these ticket prices are going to be up in the $4,000-$6,000 range per ticket, which will be one of the more expensive Super Bowls, in my opinion, in a while.
And the face value on these tickets is like $1,000 too. It's not like it's a cheap face value.
Yes, I think the player can get is $900, which is face value at Upper Deck. So it's extremely expensive. Plus, you know, everything else, and on top of that, with the hotel and the flight, and you know, finding, you know, a place to stay for the weekend and everything else that's involved with it. I need your help, though. Am I allowed? Me and you are the same in this, but I think am I allowed to wear a jersey for the game, like a loose fitting Mitchell Schwartz jersey? I think that's allowed.
Well, you have the same last name,
right? So that's fair. All right, That's my point on that. I'm very like anti-jersey guy.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an exception.
Yeah, I think you can wear the jersey of your brother. I think much like, let's say that you are a dad, and or, you know, like if one of your son grew up and he ended up playing in the Super Bowl or any other game, you know, college or anything else. I think when you're a dad, you can wear your son's jersey. I think that would be an acceptable exemption to the usual grown men can't wear jerseys unless it's them.
Agreed.
But I probably still wouldn't do it. I don't think I'd wear my son's jersey, but I think you can wear your brother's jersey.
And this is also like a loose fitting one. I'm not wearing like a game jersey.
It's also your name. Again, I think when it's your name, it's not like you're dressing up like somebody else necessarily. But so I think you can probably do that. So so I said in this breaking down these games. First of all, the Chiefs. The 49ers just ran roughshod over the Packers. Right, like there was nothing in that game. I felt like the Titans Chiefs game was decided in the end of the first half. When the Titans got the ball, they had scored two touchdowns and a field goal on the first two drives, and they made the decision to run the ball twice, and then they tried a screen pass, which gave the Chiefs the opportunity to get the ball and get the ball to start in the second half. So let's go to that point in the game. And obviously it led to the great Patrick Mahomes scramble where the Titans are trying to tackle the ball as opposed to tackle the player. But do you think the game really got decided in that final 4 minutes of the half?
Yes, and I tweeted out when the Titans got the ball back. They had 4:20 or 4:18 left in the first half. 17-14, the Chiefs' offense had started to heat up, and I tweeted out, "Hey, look, the Titans have got to find a way to get this ball, get two first downs, get it under 2 minutes, and go to half. Either obviously with points there or 17-14, even at the minimum, 17-17, let's say." And they went three and out. They should have called the screen pass on second down, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Arthur Smith, who I didn't know, by the way, is the son of the founder of FedEx. How
about that? He's a billionaire's son. Yeah.
He grinded away like as an offensive assistant for years. He called a brilliant game, I thought, especially in the first half. I thought it was very creative. And then they kind of got to the point where they're not built to really come back very well. They went three and out, and they gave the ball to the Chiefs. And, it's interesting because Pat Mahomes kind of covered up for some poor clock management, in my opinion. The Chiefs sweat 22 seconds.
I didn't understand that at all. Andy Reid has been questionable in his clock management for years, but I wondered that too because otherwise it was like they were going to go into the half with multiple timeouts potentially.
Yeah, yeah. And then Pat made that play on the sidelines. What's interesting about the way this game went down is that the Titans tried some of the same things they did to Lamar Jackson. They would rush three, drop eight, have a spy. And for some reason, Pat Mahomes was able to elude the spy, and Lamar Jackson was not able to do that. It was very interesting how he was able to manipulate the spy. And even on that touchdown run, he kind of gave like a little head nod, like he's going to pass the ball. And that's the threat, is that they knew he could pass the ball when he broke contain, and Lamar Jackson's not going to do that. Lamar's taking off right away. And so as a defender, you have to play a little bit slower on Pat Mahomes because then you get the possibility of getting a late hit if you hit him after he throws the ball. So even on that play, on the touchdown run, that's, I think, what happened is he kind of hesitated like he was going to throw the ball. They kind of let up, and then, boom, he ran down the sidelines. And then that play changed the game. Because then you're fired up. It's now 21-17. Look, the second half, and this has been a little bit of a Chiefs issue all season, is they kind of have shut it down at times during the season. Against the Niners, you probably can't do that. But once it came out of the half and put another touchdown, it was over. It was over then.
We're talking about this. Like, are the Titans built to be sustainably good?
No. I mean, it felt like this was their chance because, and I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. I don't know how you feel about this, but Ryan Tannehill to me is not the future of the Titans. I mean, they might pay him because they have to, but we kind of just saw the last three games kind of what they're made of, and if their plan doesn't work exactly like it's supposed to work, Ryan Tannehill is probably not the guy to make it work.
So I what do you do there then with a guy like Tannehill? What would you do if you were the GM?
Is you're kind of stuck. Like, you're kind of stuck. I mean, I think that you have to try to get him back on a team-friendly-ish deal, right? I mean, I don't think you can give yourself 2 years to Tannehill.
Would you franchise him?
I don't know what their cap situation is, but yeah, I'd rather franchise him than give him like a 2 or 3 year deal where he's locked in for 2 years.
And what do you do with Derrick Henry?
You can't pay running backs. I mean, there's just no value in that. I mean, he had 70 yards yesterday, and your offense wasn't able to move the ball. I mean, if you're relying on a running back to be your offense, and that's a big problem in the NFL. The Niners had a seventh round draft pick last night, tearing holes in the Packers. So like, you can't pay Henry. I know they're going to do it. Because they're kind of stuck, I think, in my opinion. He's a Southern kid, and you're in the South, and it feels like they're just going to pay him. But those would both be mistakes. And what makes the Patriots so good for so long is there's no emotion in their player decisions, right? They look at them as commodities, and what can a player do for me now? What can he do for me later? And that's the hard part about the NFL. And I don't know if John Robinson has that ability quite yet. He made the non-emotional decision with Mariota, right? He said, he's not working. We'll go to Tannehill. So we've seen it once. We'll see if he does it again with Henry.
What about the Packers? Do you feel like they are built to sustain? Do you feel like Aaron Rodgers is ever going to get to a second Super Bowl?
I think they are. I mean, their defensive additions this year were really good, and they'll be there for another couple of years. They've drafted well in the secondary. They just need to get some more weapons for Rodgers. Rodgers at the stage of his career probably where he's not going to carry a team that has poor weapons. They need to get another two wide receivers probably, and maybe a right guard. They should be fine. I'm not as down on them as other people are. But if you have an older quarterback, we saw with Tom Brady, where you have to be precise with your weapons. You have to make sure they have guys to throw the ball to that can make the quarterback right if he's wrong. And I think they'll be fine if they make those additions. We've seen that with new general manager when Ted Thompson left. They've done that. They've made the changes necessary. So it can be done. I'm not out on the Packers like most people are, I think.
All right. Early read on this, and obviously there's 2 weeks to talk about it, but the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite, according to FoxBet, I'm looking at right now. It seems to me like the 49ers are built almost perfectly to give the Chiefs a lot of problems, especially with their ability to get pressure on, in theory, Patrick Mahomes with their front four. You buying into that or not?
I am. I think that there's two keys to this game. One, obviously, is the Chiefs' ability to stop the run and maybe force Jimmy G to throw the ball more than the Niners are comfortable with. But then I think the flip side of what you just said is that you've got to be able to get home with four, and the Niners can do that. And we've seen in the Super Bowl the last five of them, maybe the last six of them, the better defense wins, I think, almost all of them, except the one year the Patriots beat the Seahawks on the Malcolm Butler play. Because typically when you have 2 weeks to prepare and you have an elite defense, you're going to get home with the pass rush. You're going to find ways to slow down the other team. We saw it last year with the Patriots. And it just works out that way because of the time you get to prepare and you're all healthy typically and you're ready to go. But the Chiefs offense is special. And I think that as much as you prepare for them, Pat Mahomes can make some plays that are just special. And it's going to be, I think, a high-scoring game. But, of course, everyone's with the Chiefs, but the Niners are tough, man. They're a tough out. They don't make mistakes. They're very well coached on offense and defense. They run the football. They kind of take your soul away. And the Chiefs, yes, they stopped Derrick Henry, but that was more, I think, because they just couldn't run the ball in the second half because they were behind. In the first half, Derrick Henry had a bunch of big running lanes, and the Chiefs were the only team, by the way, out of the Titans and the Patriots the Ravens and the Patriots actually try to stop the run too, which is different because a lot of teams just want to stop the play action pass. So it's going to be a great game. It's going to be high scoring. It's going to be a last possession game. It's going to be great.
If you were setting right now, how many, this will be Patrick Mahomes' first, how many Super Bowls will Patrick Mahomes play in?
Oh, man, a lot. The interesting part about this is that they're going to pay him all that money this offseason, and it's going to change the structure of their team. They're not going to be able to afford as many guys. I think they're going to have to draft really well. So he's going to be, a lot, 2-3 probably, especially with the AFC now. I think Tom Brady will come back to the Patriots, and they'll be better next year. But, how do you trust the Ravens in the playoffs right now? Big Ben's getting older. Andrew Luck retired. Bill O'Brien's, I don't trust him at all. So where are you looking at the AFC and someone who can compete with Pat Mahomes? The answer is probably no one right now. And so, 2-3 probably, 4 maybe. I don't know, a lot.
Good stuff. I'll see you down in Miami next week. Good luck saving up the money.
All right, take care, bud.
That's Jeff Shorts. You can follow him on Twitter, as always. Let me bring in Brian Finley, what we got for the update.
Yeah, thanks, Clay. NFL Network discovering the Houston Texans are not retaining Romeo Crennel as defensive coordinator. He might come back as a senior assistant or retire. Houston defensive line coach Anthony Weaver has a jump start on getting the job. The Super Bowl coming down to the 49ers and Chiefs. The Niners got in after walloping the Packers 37-20 in the NFC Championship game. Raheem Mostert walking all over that Green Bay defense with 220 yards on the ground and four touchdowns. Afterwards, San Fran quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo feeling pretty upbeat.
Our team is just it's incredible to be a part of. We can win so many different ways. I mean, Raheem, those guys up front, the tight ends, obviously, were just dominating tonight. It was fun.
Also after the game, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers passive-aggressively said, quote, "This season will always be special because playing football became fun again." Patrick Mahomes bossing around the Titans as the Chiefs raise up that AFC Championship trophy, a 35-24 W over the Titans. The Mahomes had his hand in four touchdowns. And 15-year-old American Coco Gauff eliminating Venus Williams, who was 24 years older in the Australian Open first round. And it's the Panthers taking on the Wild in tonight's Discover Car Key matchup, brought to you by Discover. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much they'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back match. Discover Cashback Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. We'll be back with Clay Travis in just a moment, but first, a word from Farmers.
Winter means it's time to bundle up your insurance. Bundle home and auto with Farmers, and you could save an average of 20%. Call 1-800-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Reported 2018 nationwide average savings underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Back to Clay Travis in the Outkick the Coverage studios.
We come back. What do you think we're talking about? The AFC and the NFC championship games. Also, maybe quick mention on Conor McGregor and his big win over the Cowboy on UFC. Some of you watching that on Saturday night. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Interesting comment here from Bruce Hooley. Discussion Clay Travis having now about career Super Bowl appearances for Patrick Mahomes. Same discussion that took place after Dan Marino took the Dolphins to his first one in his second year. Nothing's guaranteed in the NFL. It's true. Dan Marino probably thought when he lost that Super Bowl, oh, you know what? I'm young. I'll be back. I'll have another chance to win. And I think it's fair to say, look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton, when he rolled into the Super Bowl with a 17-1 Carolina Panthers team, he was the MVP of the league. And there was a lot of talk about how he was going to be the future of the entire NFL. And I think it's fair to say now that Cam Newton ever getting back to a Super Bowl would be a tremendous upset. And if you'd said that 4 years ago, it seemed like he would be a guy who would be able to kind of take the league by storm. And it didn't happen. I do think Patrick Mahomes is a lot different quarterback than Cam Newton. Maybe the analogy to Dan Marino is a better one because of his extreme arm talent. But we set the over-under for Patrick Mahomes' Super Bowls at 4.5. The one wild card is health. We haven't really seen an NFL quarterback deal with a severe injury that at a young age that ended his ability to compete at the same high level. We just haven't seen it. Doesn't mean it might not happen. Hopefully it doesn't. But we haven't seen a big-time NFL stud at the quarterback position deal with an injury like that that can severely curtail their ability to continue to play, especially happening at a young age like this. But it is super hard to get to the AFC-NFC championship game. It is insanely difficult to win a Super Bowl and to even get to a Super Bowl. And whether it's Cam Newton or Matt Ryan, when you get there and you aren't able to take that next step and go on and get to win the Super Bowl, that's something that can linger. So we'll see whether Patrick Mahomes can be like Russell Wilson and get that first Super Bowl at an incredibly early age and be able to basically ride on from that, or whether Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do it and the San Francisco 49ers are going to go win another Super Bowl. We'll see. I think it's going to be a really fascinating matchup. If you haven't already checked, the line right at 1.5, the Kansas City Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite. Will that San Francisco 49er defensive front, which is just so incredibly talented, be able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes and effectively win the game for the 49ers, can and or will Jimmy Garoppolo really have to do very much in this game? I mean, he went 7 for 9. They barely threw the football at all because the Packers couldn't stop their run attack. Will they need to throw the football against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? You would think so. You would think that they're going to really need to be able to do that. But Jimmy Garoppolo can become a made man, or Patrick Mahomes can become a made man. One of them is going to win their first ever Super Bowl in a couple of weeks down in Miami. Can't wait to be there. Encourage you to make sure if you're going to be in South Florida, you're a Chiefs fan or you're a 49ers fan, or maybe you're just a South Florida resident who's going to be around much of the Super Bowl festivities. We are going to be on Radio Row from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern every day in the Miami Beach Convention Center. You should be able to come by there and check out what is going to be an awesome Fox Sports radio set. And then we have, it's like 4 city blocks worth of an outdoor television set for Fox Sports that I would encourage you to check out in Loomis Park. You can come watch Lock It In, which will be on live later today, 4:30, 3:30, 2:30, 1:30, depending on your time zone. You can come get tickets and watch our show live for television in Miami. Thanks to all of you for spending your Monday morning with us. Happy Martin Luther King Day. For many of you, have to work. Impressive and incredible man, and a great day to celebrate him and all that he accomplished. This has been Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.